The first reading, which will also serve as the sermon text today, comes from Isaiah chapter 56. This is what the Lord says: protect justice and carry out righteousness, because my salvation is coming very soon. My righteousness is ready to be revealed. Then the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord and to become his servants, every one of them who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, those who take hold of my covenant, I will bring them to my holy mountain, and I will make them glad in my house of prayer. Their whole burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples of the world. This is the declaration of God the Lord, who gathers Israel's dispersed people. I will gather still more people to my house, besides the ones already gathered. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to those words of our Old Testament lesson, Isaiah chapter 56. I'll just read verse 8 again at this time. This is the declaration of God the Lord, who gathers Israel's dispersed people. I will gather still more people to my house besides the ones already gathered. This is the word of our God. And so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, God wants a church for all people. That's not just some wishful thinking or some slogan, nice-sounding slogan, for a church or a congregation that wants to be welcoming or inclusive. It's a desire of God who gathers us into that church because of his desire. And he gathers us so that we gather others as well. Yes, that slogan, God's church is a church for all people, for us is a call to action. God bless us as we see his church this way as a church for all people, as we then recognize how we are gathered to gather, that the Lord has brought salvation and righteousness to us. So we join ourselves to the Lord to minister and love and serve. Isaiah's audience of this book of the Bible, Isaiah, it was a people that was torn by war and strife. And it wasn't just years of war or decades of war. It was centuries of it. And it didn't just come from hostilities without. It was a civil war, the result of sin and strife even among brothers. Yes, David's own kingdom, after the second generation, became a divided kingdom. His grandson caused a split of the north from the south. And those two nations, who were brothers, became rivals and even enemies at times. But by 722 BC, after 200 years of a people divided, those northern 10 tribes of Israel were destroyed. They were overrun, dispersed, and scattered, never to be united as a nation again. And even since that time, the southern tribes of Judah were being invaded, encroached upon, closer and closer to home. So that by Isaiah's time, he was predicting what would ultimately also happen for them in the south. And in 605 BC, the first fulfillment of that deportation, of disbursement, happened. And then the second in 597. And the third, finally, at the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 586. And the people were led to captivity for 70 years. It's to this people that Isaiah calls God in this text, the one who gathers. He says, this one will gather you. Three times in verse 8, this word is used to describe who God is and what action he takes for this, his people, to whom Isaiah writes. This scattered, dispersed people. He says, this is the declaration of God the Lord who gathers Israel's dispersed people. I will gather still more people to my house besides the ones already gathered. Literally, God's declaration is, the one who gathers Israel says, still I will gather upon Israel for the ones who are gathered to him. God is saying that he will gather the people of Israel together, but he's still not done. He has more gathering to do after that. He will add to and increase the number of this people of Israel. He gathers to gather more. What a comfort this action, this word is of God, repeated three times in this verse. What a comfort it would be, especially for those first and foremost who were scattered, who were dispersed, those people of Israel. God would gather them together. He would bring them back again. He would restore them. This word, this picture of gathering is used repeatedly by God's Old Testament prophets. Jeremiah chapter 23, where he used this picture of a flock scattered, God gathers together again when he says, I will gather what is left of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their pastures. They will be fruitful and multiply. The prophet Micah uses the same picture, the comforting picture, when he says, I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob. I will surely gather together the surviving remnant of Israel. I will establish them like a flock in its fold, like a herd in its pasture, like a happy crowd of noisy people. I picture that scene in the commons area of a high school registration day as classmates come back together again after a summer of being away. It's noisy, but it's a noise of happiness and joy to be brought together again. That's what God does for his people. And from perhaps the most well-known chapter of abundant comfort of this prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, in verse 11, Isaiah uses this term again when he says of God, like a shepherd, he will care for his flock. With his arm, he will gather the lambs. He will lift them up on his lap. He will gently lead the nursing mothers. What a comfort here also from Isaiah about God in this chapter. The gatherer will gather his people together. And how will God accomplish that? The Lord explains his gathering work with those beautiful gospel words that open this text from verse 1 in chapter 56, where he says, my salvation is coming very soon. My righteousness is ready to be revealed. Yes, where salvation could not be found among the people, where it could not be accomplished by the people, God would bring it. It's coming very soon, he says. And righteousness, again, which could not be seen in the people, and where wickedness and sin and its effects abounded, where right could not be accomplished by them, God's righteousness was ready to be revealed, to be shown, to be made known. These verses, these words, are clearly messianic. And they speak of the pure gospel comfort of God's salvation and righteousness, that promise of salvation in our Savior Jesus. God brought that salvation. He showed that righteousness. The one who was ready to come and be revealed was his own Messiah and Savior. Jesus would bring that salvation to those people. Jesus would reveal that righteousness that they lacked as he would provide it for them as he fulfilled all of God's righteous demands. In this gospel promise, just that promise of the gospel, God was gathering these people together in the promise of the Savior. So also to us, God says, he gives us this command, protect justice. And carry out righteousness. But we cannot. We fail to be just, to be fair. We're not impartial in our judgments. We have that sinful opinion that our ideas and opinions are more important. We're prejudiced to think that we're right and so others are wrong, that our ideas are more valuable, that we are more important. We're not fair in our judgments, and we're certainly not righteous in our actions. We're at war with Satan, and even among ourselves, we live and we behave and we act unfairly and unrightly to others. We choose ways and actions that are against God's ways, His justice, His righteousness, so that our deeds are devoid of His righteousness. These sins, they disperse us. They separate us from each other, but most importantly, they separate us from our God. But to us, God brings His salvation. And to us, God reveals His righteousness in Jesus Christ. He rescued us from our injustice, from our unrighteousness. He saved us from our sins with His just life, with His perfect death. That's our salvation. That's our righteousness, which God was ready to bring to us, which God was ready to reveal to us. And by bringing this salvation and righteousness to us in Jesus, He gathers us together. But what are we gathered for? We join ourselves to the Lord, as God says in verse 6 here, to minister and love and serve. That's what God described of the people who would be added to Israel in verse 6. Foreigners, He calls them. Those who are outside of the people of God. And that should strike you, that term, foreigners. It struck those people who heard it first, those Israelites. They said, those people are not welcome. Those people do not belong. But God says just the opposite about them. Those who are not a part of Israel, they would be joined to God. And because of that, they would be joined together to you, together with Israel, to be part of God's people. What does God say that they would do? Then the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to Him and to love the name of the Lord and to become His servants, every one of them who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, those who take hold of My covenant, those ones, those foreigners. Do you see the actions that these people take? It's the actions of faith. It's the fruits of faith, the very things which display faith and continue to build up faith. He says, these foreigners who believe in Me, they will be added. They will be gathered together too. Three words that are used to describe the actions that they do. The first is to minister. That was a description reserved for the priests and Levites, those who served in God's temple worship. He says foreigners will minister in this way. They would join themselves to the Lord by ministering before Him in God's house. They would bring sacrifices that God's people were commanded to give. They would come to the temple to worship. Look how he describes these works, the fruits of these believers. The very first thing they do, the greatest concern, he mentions, is to keep the Sabbath, to find rest in God on His day and to not profane it, to take that time to rejoice in what God had accomplished for them regularly. That was an act of faith, a fruit of faith in God. So we keep the Sabbath too as we hear and believe His word, and in this way we join ourselves in ministering to God as we hear His word and praise Him for His salvation. That leads to the second action, to love. And what does he say to love? Those who love the name of the Lord. To love the name of the Lord is to believe that He is the only God, the only one who can save us, so that we turn to Him, so that we believe in Him, so that we trust in Him and His work to rescue us from our sins. That's what these foreigners were doing. They were forsaking their idols, their false gods of their nations, and saying, no, that Lord of Israel, that is the only true God, and we love that name, and we trust in Him. that love of the name of the Lord comes only from hearing that name of the Lord, hearing His word, and understanding His work of salvation for them. Yes, friends, if you think about the works that you do out of thanks to God in service to Him, the greatest act of faith that you can perform, the greatest work that you can do, is to gather together in God's house. That very first table of the law, to hear God's word regularly, to grow in your faith regularly through that word. Do you want a lively, faith-filled body of believers in this church, living and active in faith? Come regularly to God's house to worship. Worship regularly, where your love for the name of the Lord will continue to grow and grow. And then those other works will naturally come, which leads to that third action that God described those foreigners with, to become servants. Then the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to become His servants, those who take hold of My covenant, He says. Yes, to take hold of God's covenant. That's first and foremost faith in God's covenant promise to them, that He would rescue them from their sins. He would bring them salvation. He would reveal His righteousness to them. But then that covenant also includes taking hold of those works of service according to His Ten Commandments, that second table of the law as well. There's a beautiful order that's laid out in the very first verse as we understand these commands of God that we desire to follow as we serve Him. And it must always be put in this right order. A cause and effect is established and presented when it comes to salvation and works. Works of justice that God demands protect justice, He says. And works of righteousness on our part happen because of God's salvation and righteousness. God has saved us from our sins. Because of that, we live just lives according to His word. God has revealed righteousness given to us as a gift in Jesus Christ. Because of that righteousness of Christ, we live righteous lives according to His commands. Isaiah says in verse 1, this is what the Lord says, protect justice, carry out righteousness, because My salvation is coming very soon. My righteousness is ready to be revealed. What a great word that word because is. We perform works because we are saved, because God's righteousness is revealed in Christ. And this is how we join ourselves to the Lord. We join ourselves to His salvation, gathering to hear and believe His word as we gather around that word and sacrament. We join ourselves to His righteousness as we take hold of His covenant promise of forgiveness and grace. And then as we follow His covenant commands in our lives of love and service to God and our neighbor. And then through our works, through our gathering and our deeds, what does God do? He gathers more, so that His desire for the church to be a church for all people is fulfilled through us. Yes, through our gathering and our deeds, God gathers more. We are gathered to gather. We come to hear His word, come to minister in His house, come to see love in His saving name, and come to serve Him and our neighbor with our lives. Then we begin to see in each person a mission field. Another foreigner who is being gathered into God's house, being gathered and joined to the Lord, being gathered and joined to you. Do you see how beautiful that promise is from the Word of God? For My house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples of the world. It's a truth so important that Jesus Himself quoted it as He entered the temple when He was ministering and loving God's name and serving. He said, all peoples, this is why you are here, by God's abundant grace and the truth of that word, his desire for all peoples. Because of that, you are here today. You are gathered to be added as even more to that house of Israel. And with our ministering, with our love, with our service, God continues to reach out and spread that gospel. Because God's church is a church for all people, he gathers us to gather together around his word, and to gather others into this house by our ministering and our love and our service. God bless us as we carry out that continued gathering of our God. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.